Okay, testing. Here we go.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Love University back in session this week. Another episode, Dr. Avila.
Yes, we are. We're in the fall semester, and we're really going strong, and, you know, it's really a wonderful experience.
Definitely.
Basically helping people. You know, we're teaching them how to love themselves, other, and a higher power, and that's the magic of what we're doing.
That's the magic. You know what? A lot of people might not have had a good week, but... Mm-hmm. With Love University, our intent is to make you see things from a different perspective. For instance, me last week, I didn't have a good week, but every time that I come back and I do an episode here, I feel like, you know what, I'm refreshed. And that's the point, you know what, like, kind of like sometimes you just have to be honest with yourself. And we're human beings and we live in a world that's not perfect, but the idea is to not give up and to always come back.
Definitely to refresh, right, and to cherish. And today's topic is kind of along that line.
Really?
And, you know, people often say, you know, there's some things you don't want to talk about. You know, religion, politics, maybe sex or money. But today we are going to talk about religion.
We're going to talk
about spirituality. But our take is a little bit different because our take is exploring a personal spirituality, how to cherish the higher nature.
Okay.
And when we talk about spirituality in our context, we're talking about something that's higher than us, that's good, that can also elevate us and also help others.
It's crazy, Dr. Avila, because I've noticed that lately there's been like a shift as far as religion is concerned. A lot of people are more into that essence. Like I was reading an article last week about Jim Carrey.
Yes.
And they said that he has become a very spiritual individual. And he says, you know what? I've detached myself from all the things that society offers. And I think that's where we're going with this episode. The fact that you have to have that contact within, right?
Yes. And you know, there are just actually four different kinds of spirituality. There's, for example, religious but not spiritual. Now, people that do, you know, they go to the tradition, they go to the churches, temples, or mosques, but they don't really follow it internally. so they don't have the kindness, compassion, or generosity.
I see those all the time when I go to church. I'm like, as soon as they come out,
They steal your parking space.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, you're in church, man.
Exactly. But you know something, there's two parts of those. We got to also be aware that there's some people actually are spiritually sick and they come for healing. So they might have addictions or problems, but they sincerely seek it. Like they say, you know, the hospitals are for the sick, not for the healthy. So, you know, these people, you know, some of them, you know, they have problems, maybe even something inside that's negative, but they come for that healing and they want it. Okay, that I understand. But then there are other people that come there just for the show, or for the food or the approval, and that's we can call religious hypocrites or people that don't really believe what they're doing. And that's another segment of the population. So we need to kind of look at that in two different ways. A little water. Okay.
I got you your water, Dr.
You're going to baptize me today, right?
I got you your water because I saw you were thirsty. Dr. Avila Lovis loves his water. And
water is purifying, right?
that's the thing. You know what? Yes. We got to be like water, Dr. Avila. Yes. I think like we got to flow. Sometimes life can throw a rock at us and we feel like we're already dented and we can't even move.
Yes.
But with spirituality, it's like freedom, like essence, no?
Yeah, I mean, think of it. You know, we talk about being like the sun, right? Which shines, but also we should be like the ocean, which receives all the rivers of life, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
The ocean never changes, right? It always maintains itself and it welcomes everything.
That's true.
So that's the beautiful part of it. And that talks about the second dimension, which is spirituality without religion, and that we're spiritual but not religious, which is actually a growing trend in North America and other countries where people are practicing, you know, meditation or prayer or other factors, but they're not really going to a building, right? They're not going to an establishment. So they have a different path.
They call it their own spirituality. As they say that their own body is their temple, right?
It could be that, or it could be nature, or it could be, you know, basically being one with other people as well, you know, helping others. But see, that's a different aspect, you know, and they have a more of a freedom. And then we have people who are religious and spiritual. You know, maybe they do have a traditional place to go, and they have a spiritual nature. And finally, there are people who are not religious and not spiritual. Now, we call them secular, agnostic, or even atheist. But the thing about these people is that they all do have a belief or a faith in something beyond themselves. And it could be money, power, sex. It could be being a family person. It could be helping people. But it's still something they have.
Right.
So there are very few people that have no belief, right? They have no faith. They invest in something different.
And a lot of people tend to see those as outcasts. And I think one thing that connects us all, obviously, is the fact that we're all humans. But I think the biggest factor that makes us all one is how we treat each other.
Yeah, I mean, giving love, you know, we talk about that a lot, you know, helping other people, you know, the inner and the outer. But there are some people that actually are apathetic. you know, and that's people that don't have belief, you know, that they don't think, you know, they just go through life, whatever it is. So I have a little poem. I say, you know, they ate, they defecate, they fornicate, they go to work late, and they end up in a 6-foot crate.
That's true.
So their life is just like that. You know,
it's just like a routine of just, you know, existing, not having any meaning behind
right.
it. Right. Mean,
yeah. And there's certain percent of people like that. But ideally, you know, people have something beyond themselves, right? A belief system, a faith, spirituality. And it's very powerful. It can give you a lot of benefits. It can give you comfort, obviously, that there is something good in the world, you know, maybe life after death. But also there's psychological benefits. You know, people that have belief systems have less depression, less anxiety, less stress, even in terms of heart attacks and strokes. They have fewer of those.
Do you think this spirituality movement has come because a lot of people tend to turn away from the established religion aspect because it has a lot of guilt? The religious aspect, I see a lot of like the millennials talk about that. They say, you know what? Growing up, I would see my parents repent, but then I would see why? And I think spirituality allows you to not necessarily feel guilty, but necessarily reconstruct yourself, right?
It can, yeah. It depends on the path you choose. Now, religion does have advantage in that there is comfort in the community. Sometimes, you know, you need that, you know, because people are feel lonely, right? They feel isolated. So having that is a good thing to fall back on. But again, it can be limiting in some ways. But again, developing a spirituality is very powerful. It can even add 7 years to your life. We see longevity studies, you know, people that have spiritual paths, you know, have that, you know, it's a purpose, right? It's a belief. Less risk of dying early. Also, it can help society, believe it or not. Religion, spirituality, you know, children raised in that believe in it have less delinquency, less drug use, and as older, less criminal activity and less unemployment. So they say $2.5 trillion a year are generated by religious positivity.
Shout outs to Joel Osteen.
If he's one of those, right? Yeah. And, you know, so these are all factors. And the other thing is we talk a lot about, you know, what I'm developing is called Love IQ.
Right.
Which is kind of a psychological and spiritual intelligence. You know, things like compassion, generosity, kindness, and patience, which is internal traits.
And a lot of people kind of like put those away just based on their conditions, right? Like their surroundings. A lot of people, we talked about this on the last episode, they're surrounded by the wrong energy. And I think spirituality sums it up and brings it down to the basics, which is within you. You have to really find yourself and really define the elements that are around you that don't allow you to have that. And sometimes it means that you have to cut off people. You have to say, you know what? I need to find that peace within, and you might not be the one. You don't have to be an A but to push them off, but I mean just be nice in the path of spirituality and say, you know what, I'm in a path, and I think people respect that more than you being a bad person and saying get away from my life.
Well, you know? But see, you don't even have to say get away, because when you change yourself, these people will fall away by nature. Okay. So you know, we'll no longer be around them because they won't be around you. You know, they'll see you as a changed person, right?
You know? And they'll see you as the outcast.
Yeah, you're different, right? You're you seem more spiritual, whatever you call it, compassion. Oh, I don't want to be around that person, right? They're a little weird. So but yeah, you're happy, right? You're happy, and then you're going to attract people that resonate with your nature, that also have that same higher level, whatever we call it, you know, the spiritual or the psychological.
Right.
So there's that kind of attraction. You've heard the law of attraction, right?
Yeah.
So the more you attract yourself internally, the more you attract externally what you need, right? In terms of the loving people that you're looking at.
And at the end of the day, it's like you said, attracting those people and not feeling guilty because those people are not in your life anymore. Because chances are that when people see you change, they will point the finger. They will be saying, oh, boy, you think you're all different? You think you're supernatural or what? You know what? Like you said, no, I'm just in a different length of wavelength. You know, I'm in a different path.
Exactly. If you remember in ancient times, there was the prince who had everything in life, right? But then he wanted to find out, is there more out there? Because I see death and suffering. So he left his family. He abandoned his family, his wife, his children, and went out to the world, right? And we're talking about the Buddha. And then he found enlightenment under a tree. And then all these people that abandoned him came back to him later as a teacher because they wanted to learn from him.
Wow.
So in a sense, you know, like you're saying, right, that he moved away, but then people were attracted to his changed nature.
That's true.
And the teacher that we became, yeah. So in a sense, that's what happens. I mean, and when you have a practice the spiritual, you also commune in a higher level, right? You know, you have more focus, which can help you in your workforce. People don't realize spirituality is actually a tool for success in your workplace, in your relationships, and everything in life, because you're more attuned to the focused. You also trust your gut more, your instinct, your intuition, because you're in tune to something higher, right? So you get a sensation of something, I got to do this, you know, I got to follow this investment strategy or, you know, meet this person, you know, so it comes from the higher and you trust yourself more.
And it even goes far as like I've started to really trust my spirituality like in the last years because I've gone through a lot of changes.
Yeah.
And I, like you said, it feels really good because at the end of the day, you go back and right before you go to sleep and you make peace with yourself, this has worked for me. I look back and I say, you know what? Whether I made mistakes or not, I trust that it's all for the good and that tomorrow will be a better day and that I will continue. But that spirituality, I think, is another factor that a lot of people need to develop. It's a relationship within yourself that you believe in the higher power and that you're a beam. And we're not trying to preach religion. We're just trying to preach freedom of spirit, you know?
I like that. Yeah, freedom of spirit. That's a good term, you know, to liberate yourself.
Yeah.
Basically, to have confidence. First of all, love yourself. You know, we talk a lot about this a lot. Love other people. You know, find the good in others, you know, because often, you know, we can be critical of others, you know, but, you know, even if they have flaws, there's something good about each person.
Right.
We can focus on that. And also, nature is beautiful. You know, when you go to nature, all of a sudden you see the waves crashing, right? The sunlight, sunset. You realize there is something higher. There's a, you know, perhaps a creator. There's, you know, some guiding force.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes your whole life. It's not just about you. You know, we get so caught up in our little problems. You know, I got to do this, pay bills and this and that. We forget. There's an existence. There's an eternity out there, right? There's thousands of millions of years that have been around. And we're part of something bigger.
And that's the beauty about it. Like, even if you're listening to this podcast today, try to pause it right now and go outside, go to a park, and try to listen to it because the environment and that surrounds you also makes you who you are. Like, if you put yourself in the world of saying, you know what, I am in this beautiful country, I am in this beautiful place, and you recognize the goodness instead of the bad. And it goes back to the idea of what you consume, right? You consume something that's just what everybody else is doing, you're just going to be in that path. But if you want change, you got to be able to adapt to the change and say, you know what? It starts within me. And it's as simple as, like you said, just getting out there and taking a step out of the norm and doing something that's going to benefit you without you even trying hard.
Yeah, take a step out of your enclosed mind because we tend to be very narrow. You know, we go within ourselves, right? It's my life, my problems, my fears, as opposed to going outward and say, look at the world, look at the universe, look at, you know, something higher.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful idea. Also, pick a guide. Find someone that, you know, you admire. It could be a religious figure. Could be someone in history, Abraham Lincoln, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King, someone that inspires you. Now, they're
your
not
grandma, your aunt.
Exactly. Yeah. Your grandma, your aunt. You know, they're not perfect. You know, no one's going to be perfect. They have their flaws. But you focus on those things that inspire you, those elements, you know, their goodness, their helpfulness, you know, their compassion. And that can inspire you as well. You know, to have someone that you kind of follow that can be that guide.
And I think that guide, at the end of the day, the goal behind it is to not exemplify it, but I mean, learn from that person, learn their good traits. Yes. Like I remember when I was in high school, I was eager to learn. So I would go on Saturdays to take a class at a local community college on how to install stereos because I love music. So I took it upon myself to learn something new. And with spirituality, it's the same thing. Don't see your life like if you're stuck in one gear right now, like that's going to be the end of the day.
Right.
Look back where you've been all those years and what you've overcome and see this as you're listening to our voice as a new way of opening the new level of cracking the new through the new, waves and learning something new that's going to help you.
Yeah. Crack the love code. Right. But the love code is not just romantic, but it can be any element. Right. It can be friendship, spirituality. The other thing that is interesting is pay attention to coincidences. You know, and the famous psychologist Jung talked about synchronicity, meaningful coincidences.
Right.
So you drop a piece of paper somewhere, someone picks it up, and they become your best friend for life.
Right.
You know, they help you in some way. They may even save your life.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, I was at this place, a restaurant. I did like the Love Types, you know, the singles event. And the owner loved it, what we did. And then apparently, you and the radio guys were looking for a psychologist.
Yeah.
You called this guy and then, hey, I know Dr. Avila. So I started working with you.
Yeah.
And now here we are today. You see?
And it's been years, right?
It's been years. Now think about it. If I didn't go to that venue, if I chose a different venue, I wouldn't be here today.
That's true.
That little coincidence has created a chain reaction.
How about Dr. Avila, going back to spirituality, but also going back to the psychological effect. When you want to go somewhere, but you have a gut feeling you shouldn't go. Should you trust it based on your spirituality as you're going with the layers of spirituality?
It can be, yeah. You have to test your gut. I mean, see how many times, you know, you are correct or not, you know. But, yeah, definitely. The more you trust it, the more energy you have for positivity.
I remember when I was a little boy, I must have been like 5 years old. My mom, some friends of ours invited us to a nearby town over there in Mexico to go see a bullfight.
Oh, okay.
It was like the big thing, right?
Right.
But that day, honestly, I woke up. And I knew that event was going to happen because my mom told me, tomorrow we're going to go over here, okay, with the compadres. I said, all right, cool. But in my gut, I will tell my mom, Mom, I don't want to go. I didn't want to go.
Right.
And when we were coming back from the event, the car almost burned.
Wow.
And I was like, man, I think now I look back and I'm like, I should become a witch doctor or something. I'm just kidding.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you're a witch doctor.
No, who knows? Yeah. No, but the idea is that at that young age, I think I tapped into that because I was innocent.
Yes.
And I didn't have any conditioning of society telling me what to do. Mm-hmm. But ever since, I tried to go with my gut feeling. You know, I tried to definitely feel it.
Right.
And I don't look at it from a fearful way, but more like a way of like, okay, this kind of place, if I go, would it be the energy that I'm looking for or not? That's what I ask myself.
Definitely. And also, there's the idea of divine protection. In some ways, you are protected, right?
Yeah.
So there is something higher that cares about you, mm-hmm. that gives you comfort. And listening to that voice, the inner voice, can actually change your life. It can save your life.
Yeah.
It can give you power. The other thing we can listen to is our dreams. Now, I'm a very big proponent of understanding your dreams. Mm-hmm. I talk about it in my classes in psychology and at the college, what we call lucid dreaming. Now, you may have heard of the movie Inception, mm-hmm. where they had the idea that you're awake in your dream, right? So you can actually control elements. And actually, you can do this. And there's studies in Stanford University where they have laboratories. People just have monitors, and all they do is lucid dream. You know, they can do whatever they want. They can have chocolate. They can fly to Spain, in their dreams, and they feel it like a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give you guys a secret now. I don't really reveal this very often, but I'm going to teach you how to lucid dream. Would you like to learn?
I want to learn that, doctor, because I'm a person that dreams a lot, and I love that because every night before I go to sleep, I say, you know what? What adventure am I going to get into?
Yes, and if you can control it, even better, because you actually are aware in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Some people even have prophetic dreams, which is a whole different, like, see the future kind of stuff, which is pretty crazy. So this is the technique, right? People listening now, this is what I want you to do 10 times a day for this next week. 10 times a day, repeat to yourself during the daytime out loud, I am dreaming, I'm awake, I can do anything I want.
I am dreaming.
Let's do it together. Okay.
I'm dreaming.
I'm awake. I can do anything I want. Again, I'm dreaming.
I'm awake.
I can do anything I want. So what happens is that at some point in one of your dreams, you're going to actually repeat this phrase. You're going to realize, hey, that clock is going backwards. There's something weird in this dream.
Mm-hmm.
Or my friend has a blue eye and a brown eye. That is strange. So I'm actually in a dream right now.
Damn.
I'm awake. I can change it. So my boss is coming at me with negative stuff. I want to make him to a little cockroach, and he's going to disappear. I'm going to get on a broom and fly to France and eat chocolates and have gold, jewels and everything.
So it's kind of taking it like power of your subconscious when you're asleep, right?
Right, taking charge of your subconscious, mm-hmm. right? Which is very fascinating. Some people do this naturally. Now, if anyone has this idea, you can email us. I'd be interested in your stories. But they actually do it, constantly basis. They don't even think about it.
Wow.
They can control the dream. Because if you think about it, when you're in a dream, you believe it's reality, right?
Yeah.
You have amazing, it could be romantic experiences, love, life experiences, and it's incredible. And then when you wake up, you're like, hey, it was a dream.
Mm-hmm.
So some people even want to live in this dream state all their time because it's so pleasurable.
Oh, yeah.
If you can control it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a nightmare, obviously you don't want to be in that, right?
No.
So lucid dreaming can be a great gateway to the subconscious and to the spiritual nature.
So it's kind of like, I guess, in a way, a reverse way of once you control your subconscious in a dream, you can come back into reality when you wake up and you apply the same idea. Control your reality. Control your spirituality so nobody can knock it off.
That's a perfect idea because that way you have more self-control, self-confidence. Yeah, I know I can change my life. I can do it mentally. I can do it in reality.
Right.
So whatever you dreamt about, maybe you want to have a mansion in Paris, right? Maybe you want to have a great business or help a lot of people, right? Whatever it is you want, you can do it, right? Because you already dreamt it and you control the dream.
So it's in essence, spirituality is kind of like an extension of a dream because it's thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever you're thinking that's going to project and turn into that you're believing in.
Definitely. It's a higher reality that, somehow you connected with. Now, in terms of practices of religion that can be very good, and I know you do this, it's called fasting, for example, where you limit your food intake. And what you do here is that you basically realize you rely on something higher than yourself, for sustenance. Life is not just about food.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about your stomach.
Gluttony, right?
Yeah, but a lot of people believe that, let's go to eat, let's do this and that. In ancient times, there was two brothers, right? The older brother was a hunter. He went out to hunt.
Yeah.
He didn't find any food. He came back. He said to the younger brother, give me some soup and I'll give you my inheritance.
Right.
And the guy was dumb enough that he did that, right? He gave up his inheritance. And how many people do that today? Give up their spiritual peace for some food or, some trivial things, right? That don't really have much, whether it's entertainment or, the silly things that don't have much matter.
Mm-hmm.
So people give that up. So fasting can be a way to kind of take that control back, right? That, you're in control of your higher existence.
And going with that idea of eating and fasting, I'm a firm believer that you are also what you eat. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people tend to eat stinks just because they're influenced by commercialism. Like, oh, here's the new burger. Oh, here's the new drink. Here's this and this and that.
Right.
It's about realizing that whatever you put in your system, like in your stomach,
right,
it's going to give energy to your entire body. It's like gasoline, you know?
Yes, yes.
So you got to program yourself with good stuff. Not necessarily I'm telling you go vegan and be all this, you know, organic mindset, but just control. Right here, what we're expressing with this spirituality topic is the fact that you can control your spirit of who you are by what you take in through food and through your mind.
Definitely. And I'm going to give you a challenge right now, Nachin. Okay? And I'm going to call this the Nachin Challenge.
Okay.
Because it's not just about food that controls it. It's also about social media and all the internet and all the technology.
Yeah.
Now, I have this hairdresser, and she's a religious gal. And I asked her, hey, you know, do you have any bad habits? She says, no, I don't. Do you smoke? No drink? No. Uh-huh. But I'm on my phone all the time. I'm playing games.
Yeah.
I told her, okay, this weekend I want you to take a technology fast.
Yeah.
Except for emergencies, don't look at your phone. She did it. Actually, it helped heal her.
Nice.
I'm going to give you the same challenge, Nachin, okay? And everyone listening, for this rest of the day, I don't want you to use your phone or internet, unless it's a family emergency or something. But I want you to take a technology fast, okay?
And if you're listening to this episode the day that it comes out on Wednesday,
yes,
I know it might be a little bit hard because it's during the week in production, but do this exercise that Dr. Avila is doing.
Yes.
But do it on the weekend or your day off. Try it. Try a day that you can be without it. And it's kind of like retraining your mind. I actually did it this week, Dr. Avila.
Okay.
I was so busy with my job, you know, and I was driving left and right. And when I came back home at night and I was looking at my phone, like my social media postings, I'm like, oh, man, I only uploaded two things, one in the morning and one in the afternoon.
Right.
And I felt bad and I felt guilty. But then I said, but I had a better day. I kind of did,
Definitely, yeah, because think about it. The two things that happen, you see, like, bad news, right, all the time on the internet, you know, this and that. And trivialities, right? You know, my friend had a sandwich, a double breast or something in some place, right? You know, so it doesn't really matter to you, but your mind is so occupied, right? It's distracted by all these things that you're not able to live the moment and enjoy what you're doing. So this can be an amazing mental cleansing, right? You know, so fasting cleanses your body, and this cleanses your mind.
I like that, Dr. High five.
Right, high five for you. Okay, are we going to do it? Okay, all right. I just fist bumped you.
That's it.
So that means you're agreeing to do this, okay?
I'm definitely going to do it.
So you're going to give me a report at the end of the day, right?
Next week when we come back in, I'll tell you about it. But it really makes a difference. Like another way that I used to listen a lot to like radio news.
Yes.
Because I said, okay, you know what? I'd rather listen to a newscast than some bogus DJ guy. Oh, here comes a new song and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
None of that. And I even fasted on that on the news aspect.
Okay.
And I said, wow, I felt so different. And I looked back at that week and I said, what did I miss out on? The same thing, the president doing this, the politicians increasing taxes, and just things
more
that
scandals.
Were overwhelming, you know, scandals.
All this trouble.
Yesterday when I was at the gym working out, I was doing the bike and they have the TV there. And then I flipped through the channels and then I found TMC.
Right.
And they were discussing for half an hour
the
Kardashians. I'm like,
what kind of universe is this? Right?
Yeah, I'm like, what the? I turned it off and I'm like, dude, I was there by myself and I turned off the thing and I was exercising and I was just more aware of my breath, of who I was within myself.
Right.
And I said, this is better than just being kind of like a sponge. And absorbing everything.
Yeah, the negativity. So you're like, imagine you're in a deserted island, right? And there's no communication. You're there for a day or two. You have books. Maybe you have a friend. You know, whatever it is. But it's a cleansing, right? It's a mental rejuvenation.
That's one of the things I noticed with you, Dr. Avila. Like, I remember from the first episodes mentioning that you, since you were a little kid, you would get drenched in reading. You would get lost in that. And I think that's what makes you an individual of who you are today, an individual that's peaceful and walks in life in center.
Yeah, because it's internal rejuvenation, right? You know, basically, you know, you're able to get away from the externals and, you know, empower yourself with you know, some knowledge or something else. The other thing that's powerful, and you know, people call this prayer, you can call it communication, you can call it higher connection. You know, to be able to say something in a powerful way to something higher. And I often like this, you know, whenever I go to meals, I like to pray, you know, and get grace, you know. People look at me funny sometimes, but I like the idea because gratitude is so powerful. And when you express it, you know, I'm grateful for being alive, for being with a friend here, whatever it is, you know, for the food. And it changes your whole mindset. It changes your day. We're able to say that in a higher way. You know?
And I think we go back to the other thing that I said last week, which is that we think we're eternal. Mm-hmm. We think we're going to be going through life and being here.
Right.
Forever, you know, and we're immortal. But once you realize that it, this is just a transition, and the easier and the happier, the peaceful you'll live, you know, the more you come in contact with that. With that fact.
Right, that you're only alive in the moment. You know, we talk about the 7% club. Only 7% of people are alive, and, you know, most people have died. You know, say, you know, 15 billion people are dead and 7 billion are alive.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah. So, you know, prayer, also, Nachin, giving. Now, you know, a lot of what we like to do in Love University is, you know, give, right? Give ideas, give help, you know. So, you know, some people call it a tithe, you know, where they give 10%, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So the money doesn't really matter. It's the idea that you are relying on something higher for what you receive in life to be able to give. There was a wealthy man who actually gave 90% of his income and kept only 10%. And he was, you know, blessed because he kept getting more and more money. You know, he kept giving more. So there's a powerfulness to that. The idea of giving, right? Giving and then, you know, at a higher level. And here's something that's, for a lot of people, maybe, you know, very unusual to think about. But the key is to give the fruits of your labor to the higher, to God, right? So when you work, for example, you say you have a great gift or talent. You know, we call it don in Spanish. Instead of working for yourself or to make money, work for God.
Right.
Say, hey, I'm going to give God that. And whatever I give back, or the higher power, whatever you believe in, whatever I get back is what I get. And that's
And it doesn't have to be to a church. Like, you know, a lot of people say, okay, you know what? I got to give this much money to your church. Great. So you can keep the movement going. But even if you find somebody on the street and if you have a dollar, whatever you have, share with that person, because you never know. That's the one thing that's going to change their perspective from boiling down and just having a breakdown to saying, you know what? Somebody cares for me, man.
Definitely. But you know, I don't think you quite understood what I was saying. I didn't mean give money. I say give mentally all you do to the higher. In other words, you relinquish control of your work, right? You relinquish control of the fruits of the labor.
So you let the higher power take over.
That's the idea. So what happens here is that you're not worried about, you have to make this amount of money, I have to do this. You say, okay, I'm going to do what I do, but it goes to God, right? Whatever fruits come from that.
Yeah.
And then it comes back to me, whatever I receive.
Right. But I was just saying in the practical way, because a lot of people look at it like in the money aspect.
Of course, I understand what you're saying. But what I'm trying to say here is that this actually liberates you from that frenzy of trying to make a living and doing this and that, because you no longer care about that, because it's relinquished, right?
Yeah.
And as a result, you actually are more successful and you make even more money, because you no longer have that tenseness and that tightness that accompanies making money is now coming from the higher.
That's true.
And that's a whole reversal of attitude. So it is, that's a whole different thing.
It's true, because you detach from the aspect of becoming a soldier, a producer of things. Yes. And you say, you know what? Just like a bird trusts the system and the universe. He's always going to find a way. And that's, in essence, what you got to be, a person of faith and a person that believes that there is that power that drives you and carries you.
Yeah, even if the birds are, you know, beautifully attired, why can't you be, right? You know, the same idea. And they don't have to work for their money, right? They're just given that gift.
Say that to my landlord. Somebody's going to say that.
Exactly. Well, yeah, that releases you, right? So when you're released, your mind is pure and powerful.
Yeah.
You can go out and make more success, make more financial, money.
And you're not stuck in the mud of your mind, right?
And that's the idea. Yeah, not stuck. Yeah, so you're free. The other thing that's very powerful is a sacred time. Now, you know, they used to have what we call a Sabbath. Jewish people say Shabbat. You know, it could be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, where you don't work, right? You give that one day to either family, to worship, you know, to basically healing yourself. And that's very beautiful, but it's very uncommon in our society.
Oh, yeah.
That we have a 7-day, 24-hour-a-week cycle, right? Everything constantly moving. But what if you could take that one day off, you know, and just focus on the good things in life?
Yeah.
You see, rejuvenation.
That would be nice. And I think another proponent idea that I would bring out is, right now we're going through a lot of changes in our society, especially here in the United States. We have a lot of turmoil, a lot of politics going left and right.
Right.
And it's becoming a global aspect. But if you really look at it and you say, you know what, I cannot control those things. I can only control myself. I think that's another key that you can apply to yourself. Instead of saying, you know what, everything is controlling me. No, I'm controlling myself. Type of thing.
Right. And by controlling yourself, you can influence the world, right? In society, you know, because you're at your strongest self. See, love is not just an emotion, it's a tool for success. See, this is something people don't realize.
Yeah.
Because when you love yourself, then all of a sudden you liberate your powers, right? Your abilities to help other people. And it brings us to the last point is the strongest, I think, religion is really love, right? If you think about it, spirituality is love. All great religions talk about compassion and love. And that's what we're doing in our Love University, right? Loving yourself, others in a higher nature.
Yeah.
They once said the greatest commandment is to love, you know, God with all your heart and soul and love your neighbor as yourself. But here's the key. You have to love yourself first before you love your neighbor. Because if you don't love yourself, you're not going to love your neighbor.
That's true.
So that's kind of the reversal part. So you have to start with loving yourself, you know, with compassion, and then loving your neighbor, and then the higher power. And that's everything we need to do.
So this week, the homework assignment that Dr. Avila gave us is disconnect from social media, disconnect from your phone, from technology, even a TV show, even all that. Kind of like have that connection within yourself instead.
It's almost like a little offering, right? Instead of offering money, you're offering something that, you know, you may like, but that distracts you from the real things. And it's a temporary sacrifice, but it gives you more. It gives you more pleasure. It gives you more happiness.
Right.
So it's a spiritualness, right? So you're developing the inner spiritual side of you. So that's a practice, okay? Nachin, you got the, we'll call it the Nachin Challenge, okay?
Let's do that, Dr. Avila.
Disconnect one day. And by the way, Nachin, this is the good news that we've been talking about is getting closer to reality. We have a special event coming up. Why don't you tell the people about it?
We're going to be in Fullerton December 1st, 7 p.m. at Classy Rock Cafe. It's in downtown Fullerton. It's a really nice spot. It's like a lounge, but at the same time, it's a place where artists and people can go express who they are. And they've given us the opportunity to come on board to this city. And we're inviting you to come over and experience a night of love with us, like through psychology and a great talk. We're going to have Dr. Avila. He's going to be presenting his new theory on love IQ. And we want you to come by. I mean, it's hard for us to really conceptualize this case because we talk about it before we go on air and we say, Dr. Avila, man, it's kind of hard because most people nowadays, they want to gratify to see what am I getting for free materialistically? What am I getting out of it? But like Dr. Avila and I always say, our reward is seeing people smile and heal themselves. So you might not need it, but you might know somebody that might. Come over and learn about love and the theory of love IQ and how to find the perfect soulmate. And it could be even yourself having a better relationship with yourself.
Yeah. So Friday at 7 p.m. So basically it's networking with love. And you know, people like to network. You know, they like to meet people, but it could be for friendship, business, or romance. But the key is that's love without expectation. So when you get there, you don't know what can happen, right? Anything, anything can happen in a good way.
You might find the next wifey, the next husband.
Next soulmate, or your business partner, or a great friend. Or you might even learn something about yourself that's going to change your life. A new career you want to get into, whatever it might be. So we're going to have some icebreakers, some a little bit of surprises. And it's going to be, again, Friday, December 1st, 7 p.m. And do you have some more information there, Nachin?
I have the phone number. They want information. It's 310-226-8090. 310-226-8090. You guys can make reservations or look them up on Google, Classic Rock Cafe Company, 1015 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton, California. And the idea, like I said in the past, is for us to become better individuals and enjoy this ride that we call life together.
Definitely. Lovely energy without expectation. And again, they can email us at lovetype4u@aol.com. So yeah, this idea, Nachin. So the perfect religion spirituality is loving energy without expectation, loving yourself, others, and the higher nature.
Till next time, thank you so much for joining us.